Illinois lawmaker shocked to learn that cheap bail means people can get out on cheap bail. Details at 11. Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. I'm sorry. This story amuses me way too much, guys. The headline to this story actually reads, Illinois senator who sponsored no cash bail law upset that man who threatened him with a gun was released on $1,500 affordable bail. This story, John Botch reports for The Truth About Guns. Illinois Democrat State Senator L.G. Sims says a suspect threatened him with a gun during a road rage incident. Apparently, there is just a bad traffic situation. We'll leave it at that. Sims, the state senator, calls 911. The police come. They arrest the guy. Because, of course, they arrest the guy. He was threatening another human being with a gun. You can't do that, not even to legislators. So they arrest the guy. And Sims, who I believe had previously sponsored Illinois' affordable bail law, last January also sponsored the Illinois no cash bail law that's going into effect soon that will prevent Illinois judges from setting any cash bail except when the defendant poses a real and present threat to safety. And yet, Scott, none of the stories that I read about Senator Sims showed him expressing any regret about affordable bail or his no cash bail legislation. Instead, he explained to the very helpful reporter at the State Journal Register, by him being released on bail, he's free to do this again.
You see, to me, as a former journalist, do you have a question? I'm sorry.
I have no question, Scott. Go.
As a former journalist, the first question in my mind, if I had known who this guy was and what his track record was how does this make you feel in light of your previous support for legislation about reforming the bail process? That doesn't have to be a hostile question. Sure. That's a natural question. You know, you sponsored legislation specifically about something that you're now saying has affected your life. What you don't have to say, hey, don't you wish you hadn't supported that now? You could just literally say, how does that make you feel regarding your previous support for this? What would you do differently? Or does it reinforce what you already think should be done? And I think we know the answer to that, given this guy's statements there. Now, as I say this, I'm actually a big advocate for reforming the bail process because I think in many ways we've structured it so that it is essentially punishes people who are accused of crimes who can't afford to post the bail more than it punishes people who are accused of crimes who can afford to post the bail. And so, you know, if you're going to let some people who are accused of crimes walk while they're awaiting trial, then you need to let all similar accused people walk as well. And it shouldn't be based on whether you're poor or you're rich or you're middle class or anything like that. So I think we do need to take a serious look in our broader sense of justice reform at, is cash bail really serving the purpose that we intend, or is it discriminating against a particular group of people and granting essentially favors to another group of people? That said, I mean, what a hypocrite. I mean, I can't imagine, like my first thought, having been, you know, at a very minor level involved in politics before, my first thought after this incident would have been, oh, wow, people are going to ask me about how this squares with my desire to reform the bail process. I better have an answer for that. Now, I think what really happened was I made a note to myself. I think that the representative actually contacted the court and said, how can you release that guy after what I said to him? Because I think that's what he's really afraid of. We're not getting the whole story here. In that interaction among the two, it wasn't just one guy waving a pistol. There were two guys there.
Yeah, so indeed. I don't know. I'm not saying our bail system is perfect, far from it, but I think it's more of a symptom of what's wrong with our justice system than a cause. As I've been saying for the last year now, the police can only be as good as the laws they're required to enforce. And we've got too many laws on the books, and too many of those laws are about personal things, so-called victimless crimes, where the police really shouldn't be involved at all. So the reason we have too many poor people in jail that can't afford bail is they shouldn't have been there in the first place. So, Scott, I'm going to disagree with a little bit. Bill, isn't the point of bail that it's supposed to be expensive so that you don't want to give up that money by not showing up at court when you're supposed to? Isn't that the entire point of bail?
That's the theory. And presumably that's why a judge will set different bail based on the accused income levels. If you have a guy who's living in a $7 million house and you issue a $1,500 bail, that's not the kind of motivation to get a guy back to court as you would if you issued $1 million worth of bail or whatever the case may be. So that's the theory. And I suppose that generally speaking, the theory works rather well. I suspect if it didn't, we'd be rid of it a long time ago. And needless to say, there are bail bond agencies all over the place that are no doubt, charging ridiculous rates and all of that. Usury, I've just invented a new word. The bigger issue is the hypocrisy. Scott said, if I were to, speaking about the politician, if I were to, make this accusation and raise this fuss, then I'd better have a good answer. My response to that would have been, I wouldn't have said anything at all.
Yeah.
But they did. And the reason they did is because of the doublethink that is required, generally speaking, for progressive policies. You have to say one thing and believe something else. And we can just do this forever. But we saw this not just a month or two ago when Minneapolis is talking about, my God, we gotta raise some money to get some police in here because we've cut the police force. You hear the same sort of thing on a daily basis when you hear people say, no, I think we should be taxed. The tax rate should definitely go up. And then they say to their attorney, take every single deduction you probably can. You can't square those two things. If somebody's saying you should be taxed more because the government needs the money and is better able to spend the money than you are, and then you tell your accountant to pay as little tax as possible instead of as much as possible, then you've got cognitive dissonance between what you say and what you do and what you believe. This is the hallmark of the left. This is what they do. They talk about all you need to know about progressivism is Leonardo DiCaprio flying in his private jet to a global warming conference. That's all you need to know. That's all there is. And so they do these things, Steve, it's not just for the moral superiority and the kind of the warm feeling they get of being better than everybody else, although there's that. It is protection. It's a shield. DiCaprio goes to, as I've said before, I think this is right on the money. DiCaprio doesn't have a jet to go to global warming conferences. DiCaprio goes to global warming conferences so he can have the jet. It gives him permission to have the jet. I'm down with the whole movement. We've got to get rid of private jets. They're terrible for the climate. So I'm going to fly to Paris and raise awareness for this. And if I do a few other things while I'm there, then that's what I'll do. And this is how it works. It's a shield against their philosophy. Their philosophy is about envy and agitation. And when somebody comes forward with this kind of politically correct statement, they're trying to shield themselves. But when they actually get bit by the policy, they revert back to their normal feelings on the thing, which is, what do you mean you're going to let that lunatic out on jail after what he did? You're not going to find a better example of the realization of the hypocrisy than you will if you watch just 30 seconds of The Funniest Man Ever Lived. There's a scene in one of Richard Pryor's concert videos where he's talking about how he was about to play a gig up in a penitentiary. And he's basically saying, man, I was going to go up there. I was going to speak truth to power. I was going to talk about the man and oppression and all these other things. I got in there. And when I came home, I said to myself, thank God for penitentiaries. This is the kind of contact between reality and theory. And I would never be that unaware as to complain about something that I just spent years campaigning for.
You know, Bill, it occurs to me just now that maybe Sims was too shocked to recognize the discrepancy there. He was so shocked that this affordable bail thing would still apply when he was the victim, because he is a Democrat of color and a legislator. So he's like three different kinds of protected species, and the law did not cover him the way it's supposed to because of his various privileges.
And what a shocker.
Yeah. But I guess my final thought on this is very, very simple. You probably heard the old line that a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged by reality. And I started to wonder when I was reading this story, what do you call somebody who's mugged by reality and completely fails to notice it? And then I realized we already have a word for that. It's Democrat. That's your right angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks so much for watching. And remember, if you like content like this, we would love to have you be one of our supporters, because it is not free to make these shows. So go to BillWhittle.com, join us now, or just make a one-time donation. Any kind of support is appreciated. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.